Outdoor Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
In Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 25, we read, "Now his elder son was in the field." This is the older brother of the prodigal. He was a responsible, obedient son. "Now his elder son was in the field. And he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing. There was a party going on. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, 'Thy brother is come, that one who went out and took his inheritance early. He has come back. And thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry.'" He was mad. "This is not fair. This is not right. Why would my father receive him when he's acted so irresponsibly and so sinfully? And he's wasted away all this money that was given him. How come he's received safe and sound with no consequences for his actions? This is not fair." I've entitled this message, "The It's Not Fair Club." How many times have you been treated unfairly? Perhaps your wife or your husband has treated you unfairly. Perhaps your boss, probably most of us have experienced that, or the government, or your children. Or perhaps it's even been worse. Maybe you've been the subject of abuse, where you've been abused. And what a sad thing that is. Sexual abuse, verbal abuse, mental abuse. What a terrible thing to be treated wrongly, to be treated unfairly. How sad it is that there is such a thing as unfair treatment in this fallen world that we're living in. But there's plenty of unfairness, isn't there? The Unfair Club. This club has a lot of members, and the elder brother exemplifies a member of the Unfair Club. In Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, we read in this chapter that I just read about the elder brother, "Then drew near unto him," the Lord Jesus Christ, "all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Now these were immoral people. These were people who did not practice good ethics. They were dishonest. You couldn't be a publican and be dishonest. The sinful means immoral practices. These were sinful and immoral people. And they drew near to the Lord Jesus Christ and wanted to hear what he had to say. They could come into his presence and not feel judged, not feel condemned, not feel threatened. They didn't feel like they were under a microscope. They could come into his presence and they wanted to hear what he had to say. Verse 2, "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, 'This man receiveth sinners and even eats with them.'" Something's wrong with this picture. I mean, he's letting these people come into his presence without condemning them, without rebuking them. He's preaching the gospel to them, and it's almost like there's no consequence for their actions. Something is wrong with this picture. This is not right. This is not fair. This is not ethical that he's receiving these people. Verse 3, and he spake this parable unto them. Now, this parable is given to these religious people who felt like it was wrong and unjust for the Lord to receive these sinners. Now, this parable can be divided into three parts. First, there's the parable of the lost sheep and the shepherd going after it. And that represents the work of the Lord Jesus Christ going after his sheep. And then there's the parable of the lost coin that's lost in the dirt. And the woman sweeps the house until she finds it. And this represents the work of the Holy Spirit in coming and giving life to those dead in sins. And then we have the story of the prodigal son. And this is one of the most famous stories in the Bible. But let's pick up reading here. And remember, this story is given to these men who were criticizing the Lord for receiving sinners. Now let's pick up in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He wanted his inheritance early. And he divided unto him his living. His father gave it to him. Verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. He had a lot of money, and he had a hole in his pocket. And he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He was using all of his money for wine, women, and song. He was living the high life, so he thought, having a good time. And there is pleasure in sin for a season. Now, if you've not lived like this, you've wanted to. You can see where this boy was coming from. With all this money, let's have a good time. And he wasted his money. He squandered it all away with riotous living. Now, how long did this last? I don't know. He probably had plenty of friends during this time. He had plenty of money, having a good time. But verse 14 says, and when he'd spent all, the money ran out. He was no longer able to have the good times that he had. No doubt he lost friends. Everybody likes someone with money, but when you don't have any, they lose friends. When he'd spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He could no longer pay for his bills. He could no longer pay for his rent. He couldn't come up with the money to eat. He began to be in want. He had nothing. So verse 15, he went and got himself a job. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And that was the most degrading job a Jew could ever have, feeding swine. Verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now, I believe that what this represents is religion. I don't know how many times I've seen this happen. People go from a life of partying, and they'll turn it around to a life of religion. They feel guilty, something happens, and so they turn religious. And they get no true, genuine satisfaction from that religion. It doesn't really do them any good. They find no satisfaction in it. The husks can't give you any satisfaction. This is man's religion. Put him to work. Put him to work. And there he is working. Man's religion in that country. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he came to himself. What a blessed time that is. He remembered his father's house. He remembered how good he had it. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare. I mean, even the slaves there are doing better than me, and I perish with hunger. I will arise, and I'll go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned. What I did was wrong when I left you. What I did was wrong when I wasted all my substance in riotous living. Father, I've sinned. I've sinned against heaven. My sin is against God. That's why it's so bad. And I've sinned before thee. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. No sense of entitlement here. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Just make me a slave. I wouldn't presume to be a son after what I've done. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He rehearsed it all out. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Perhaps his father was up on the roof or the second floor, walking around, looking out the window, and he saw somebody in the distance, and immediately he knew, that's my boy. He saw his son moving toward him. And his father saw him, and he had compassion. Oh, he was moved with compassion. Here's my boy. And he ran. He wasn't mad. He ran, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. He was so glad to receive him. And the son said unto him, Father, he begins his confession. I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But before he could even finish his confession, the father says to the servants, bring forth the best robe. The best robe. And put it on him. Don't hand it to him and let him put it on himself. You put it on him. And you take a ring and put it on his hands, and you put shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Let's have a party. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, while all this was going on, let's pick up reading in verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, no doubt working, performing his responsibility. He had been a good boy. He'd always done in his own mind what his father expected of him. He didn't waste his substance in riotous living. He was working for his father, doing what he should be doing. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. What's going on? What's this party all about? And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother has come. Remember him? The one who ran off with all that money? Well, he's come back. And thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. Now, before you get too hard on this elder brother, put yourself in his place. I'd be mad too. I think surely there's got to be some consequences to actions. I mean, he's lived so irresponsibly. He's lived so sinfully. And you just receive him like this? I guarantee you, I would be angry too. This is not right. Look at the way I've been. And look at the way he's been. Why? This is not fair. That's why I entitled this message, the It's Not Fair Club. The elder brother was a long-standing member. And I understand where he's coming from. You see, the members of this club have a hard time with free grace. That's the problem. They have a hard time with the freeness of grace. The only way this boy could be received is received freely. And the members of this club have a hard time with free grace. People in this club keep an account of what they have done. Look what he says. Verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and treated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. Oh, they keep an account of all the things that they've done. And what a high opinion he has of his works. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Now, I don't believe him, but yet that's what he says. I never transgressed thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. This is not fair. But as soon as this thy son was come, notice he calls him thy son. He doesn't call him my brother. He says, as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots. Now, the only reason we know that this boy devoured his living with harlots is because he told. I mean, in the first part of this account, it wasn't told, but he wants to expose the sin of this boy so his own star will shine brighter. As soon as this thy son has come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, you killed for him the fatted calf. This is not fair. Now, this is the oldest club that I know of. The It's Not Fair Club. The concept began with Satan. Satan said to our first parents in the garden, God's not being fair with you. He's holding out on you. He knows that if you eat of this fruit, of this tree, that you'll be just like him. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. And he doesn't want that. It's not fair the way he's treating you. He's holding out on you. He's the one who introduced this concept. You know who the first member was? Cain. Cain was so angry that God accepted his brother's sacrifice and didn't accept his, that he murdered his brother over it. He was so mad. This is not fair that God would accept my brother's sacrifice and reject mine. You see, he didn't understand the gospel in the blood of the lamb that Abel brought. He brought the fruit of his works. He thought, this is just as good as my brother's, maybe better. It's not fair that God accepted him and rejected me. So he murdered his brother over it. The board of directors of this club is found in Matthew chapter 20. I'd like to read a passage of Scripture from Matthew chapter 20 to you. We read beginning in verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that's a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, a working man's wages, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning, and saw others standing idle in the market. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way, and he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, 12 and 3 p.m., and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, 5 p.m., an hour before quitting time, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here idle all the day? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, you shall receive. So when even was come, 6 o'clock, quitting time, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the first, the fellows that began at 6 in the morning, the fellows that started at 5 o'clock, unto the first, the fellows that started at 6 in the morning. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, that only worked an hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. Of course they supposed that. They worked 12 hours. These other fellows only worked 1 hour. Wouldn't you suppose you would receive more? Of course you would. And they likewise received every man a penny. The ones that worked 12 hours were given the exact same thing as the ones who worked 1 hour. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, This is not fair, saying, These that have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. This is not fair. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I'll give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I'm good? Because I decide to be gracious to these 1 hour workers and give them the same thing? Are you charging me with injustice? All these people said, It's not fair. Oh, it's fair. It's fair. Let me show you the individual member of this club. They're described in Romans chapter 9. If you'll turn with me there to Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 11, for the children, this is talking about Jacob and Esau, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it's written, Jacob have I loved. God says this, I've loved Jacob, but Esau have I hated. Now that's what God says. Now Paul anticipates the objection. He says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? This is not fair for God to love Jacob and hate Esau. Esau's being wronged by God. I see a sense of entitlement here. Esau is being wronged by God. God is showing respect of persons. He's preferring one over the other. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Esau didn't care anything about God. He sold the birthright for a bowl of soup. Ask how valuable his relationship with God was to him. He didn't care a flip about God. And if God withheld his love for him, he's just. Oh, what mercy, though, God displays in loving Jacob. Jacob was a sinful, selfish, evil man. But God loved him because God is gracious. Now, because God loved Jacob, because he's gracious to Jacob, are you going to say God's not fair? Whatever God does is fair. Verse 15, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. The next time you hear a preacher talk about free will, remember this passage of Scripture. It's not of him that willeth. That's a lie is all it is. It's not the truth. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy. And whom he will, he hardens. Now thou wilt say unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? If he has hardened me, how can he hold me responsible? If I'm totally in his hands and it's up to him as to whether or not I'm going to be saved, if he can harden my heart, how can he hold me responsible for my sin? I love Paul's reply, verse 20. Nay, but O man, who are you to reply against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Now what Paul is saying is, since when do you have the moral authority to set in judgment over what God does and say, I agree or I disagree or this is right or this is not right? You become God's judge. And that will not work. Who are you to reply against God? Now let's go back to the prodigal. That's what I want to end with, thinking about the prodigal. I want to look at his attitude, his demeanor, the things he had to say. Now, one thing that's very clear about the prodigal is he didn't want fairness. He wanted mercy. And I do too. That's what I want. I want mercy. Like the centurion, I'm not worthy to come under your roof. Like the Syrophoenician woman, I'd be so thankful for any crumbs of mercy that fall my way. Like the publican, God be merciful to me, the sinner. He needed mercy. He had no merit. He knew that, and he needed mercy. Look at his view of his works. He says, I sinned against heaven and before thee. Look at his view of his person. He said, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. He didn't have a sense of entitlement. He said, make me as one of thy hired servants. But look what the Father says to this man who comes back. But the Father says to his servants, bring forth the best robe. That robe is the righteousness and merits of Christ. That's the robe of salvation. You bring forth the best robe for this poor, sinful person and put it on him and make him perfectly righteous. And you put a ring on his hand, which is the token of eternal love, a love that never had a beginning and will never have an end. And you put shoes on his feet, grace to walk in the gospel. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to have a party. Now, same fellow, this prodigal. Look at the way his father looked at him. And look at the way his brother looked at him. What was the difference? The difference is love. That's the difference. The difference is love. Love wants the best for the objects of its affection. Now, to all the members of the It's Not Fair Club, God will meet you on the ground you choose. What do I mean by that? Well, He'll meet you on strict justice, if that's the way you want, or He'll meet you on the ground of mercy. Which way do you want Him to meet you? Do you want Him to give you what you've got coming? Do you want Him to give you what's fair? Oh, don't go there. If He gives you what's fair, He'll send you to hell. And He'll send me to hell too. But if you come on the ground of pure, free grace, He'll meet you there. And I can tell which ground you've come upon by how you treat your brother. If you're harsh and judgmental toward your brother, you prove that you know nothing of grace. But if you receive your brother and forgive your brother and are merciful to your brother, you've learned something of the mercy of God toward you. Which ground do you want to come on? Now, I know this. I'm coming like the prodigal. I understand this elder brother. I'm just like him. I see that in my flesh. I see that in my fallen, sinful nature. But I come into the Lord's presence like the prodigal, needing free grace. That's the way every sinner comes. And the star of this story is the Father and His reception of the Son. Now, we have this message on cassette tape, on DVD, CD. You call the church or write, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nybert. Praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.